ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
It is our number three leaks coming from the Saints schedule. A couple of primetime games, as many per leaks as five, including back-to-back Thursday night affairs. Thanksgiving night, Atlanta. The following Thursday at Dallas, the latest leak. So back-to-back Thursday night games, but that doesn't mean, that means no short week. So it's a week apart. So that's awesome from that standpoint. September 9th, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is where they will start the regular season. Going to talk a little Pels and Blazers coming up at 2:15. Fletcher McAlee was in Portland for games one and two. What does he feel coming up in game number three? What adjustments can we expect from Portland? They got to do something to try to contain Drew Holiday, right? How will that help? What will the Pels do on the offensive end to maybe limit that? And Damian Lillard, man, he's been getting killed. Got to step it up. What is he going to maybe try to do in this game? Who will be the ancillary characters, the sub guys that are going to come in and maybe have an impact in this game? I said Etwan Moore. Jake Madison of Locked On Pels back in hour number one said maybe Sheck Diallo could have a pretty interesting game here. So we'll touch on that here in a little bit. Plus, go a little bit more over the Saints schedule. Again, the full schedule going to be released later this evening. You got all kind of schedule shows on the NFL Network and ESPN as well. And our thanks to the Graf. We just spoke about his, it was an okay call. It was a good call. He didn't say arrivederci and he promised us to do that anyway in the comeback win against LSU yesterday. But we played last hour two pieces of video, one on the NFL Network and one a player profile sponsored by Hyundai and the NFL Draft about Darius Geis. And who better to kind of talk about him than the guy that's covered him while he was at LSU from the sidelines, Gordy Rush. You can follow him on Twitter, GLRush3. And Gordy, good afternoon. How are you doing, man?
Hey, Gus, doing fantastic.
What is it like from your perspective? Because I know when the combine happened in the news and of him coming on Sirius XM NFL radio saying, hey, look, he was asked about if he liked men, if his mother sold himself, things of that nature. I mean, I kind of lost it as well. As somebody that's covered him and knows him, what was it like from your perspective?
I think it was a kid that obviously overcame a lot of obstacles to get where he was. And the thing that I love about Darius Geis, and I'm gonna take this perspective, Gus. If, let's say that you were an NFL scout and you were asking about Darius Geis. His character is off the chart. He's the type of kid that rarely, when I was around him, did you see him have a bad day. He's the kid that was always spirited at practice, the most vocal guy, always a smile on his face. A guy that was doing all the hospital visits and all of the charitable things and taking a selfie and embraced the role. And I think it's one of those things. I think he's going to fit great on an NFL roster because of his spirit. And to have that sort of spirit, despite where he came from, is a wonderful story. And I'm glad somebody's finally telling him.
Do you think it's just because there's so much dead time that people don't have games to talk about, don't have video to sort of look at where we overanalyze things? And I say we being part of the media in terms that they do that because I just find it ridiculous that people say he has off-the-field issues. I'm like, in a town or in a city like Baton Rouge or as much coverage as LSU gets, if there was some sort of problem, somebody would know something. You know what I'm talking about, Gordy? I'm not even talking about on any of the shows. I'm talking about when you're hanging out with people or another media member at a Saints practice that, you know, Jacques Doux says, like, man, nobody's ever said anything that I know of that would lead me to believe this guy could be a character issue.
No, you know, what would happen to guys, he got hurt in a scrimmage, believe it or not, coming out. And I saw the play. He wound up jumping over the top of a defender, hurdling somebody, coming out on his own 2-yard line. And, you know, so he year he was banged up. Darrell Williams was banged up, and both of them had to play, and they played hurt. And you know, that's kind of what happened this year. But say the kid has any off the field, I think it's all position, and it's all part of the crap that comes out this time of year in the NFL draft. I really think somebody's going to make a play for Geis in the latter part of the first round is where he's going to fall, because so either Cleveland or New York Giants are not going to get Barkley, and they're both, you know, they're sitting there in the second round, especially the Giants, mm-hmm. who had me. I was on a radio station doing a Giants preview earlier this week. If they don't get Barkley in the first round, they're going to take Geis in the second pick of the second round. So I think somebody's going to wind up grabbing him because they realize New York's desperate for a running back.
When you covered him, I'm going to go to 2 years ago when he was healthy. It's nuts to think, right? Because the talk, Gordy, going into his last year there, junior, is like, this guy's a Heisman guy. I mean, look what he did, the amount of 200-yard games he had, and the style of run that he had, and just how good he was. I mean, he had people comparing who was better, him or Fournette and stuff. And Fournette was a high first-round draft pick, and he killed the record books. Just go back to that year. What was that like to see that from that perspective on the sideline
there? Yeah, you know, he's fantastic. And Energizer of Bunny, you know, the battery just keeps on going. He's nonstop and running through people. And again, having him when Fournette was down, they didn't skip a beat that year. And so I think that you know, a couple things about Geis. He's a better receiver than give him credit for. Yeah, I think he's got to get better in pass pro, and there was a reason Darrell Williams was on the field on third down. But also, at some point, you had to give Geis a blow, and Williams was a good receiver as well. I think he's going to be a fantastic pro, and I think he's learned some life lessons a lot earlier in life than most of us. And I think he's going to embrace whatever role he takes in the NFL well.
Speaking with Gordy Rush, he's a sideline reporter on the LSU Sports Radio Network at GLRush3. He's the way to follow on Twitter. Two final questions for you, Gordy. We'll kind of move to where the team is. Saturday is the spring game, and obviously I think a lot of people are going to be paying attention to maybe that offense and what they see there. From your perspective, when you kind of be a part of this game here in the spring and look, is that what you're focusing on? Is it just simply the quarterback? Is it the running back? Is it the line? Is it the receivers? Is it the offense as a whole?
No, it's everything. You know, I think that, let's first off, I think you have to come clean and say this defense, especially the front seven, I think has got top five personnel in the country. Now, whether or not statistically that way, I think depends on, you know, offense's ability to hold the ball, time of possession, a lot of other factors. And so the defense has really played well, and I think had the upper hand in the spring, especially when you're installing a new offense. And this is year three of the Dave Aranda scheme, and he's too deep at every spot in that front seven. They've been really good. There are a lot of things I want to look at. I think the big thing for me is what has this offense evolved to? I've seen a lot of the scrimmages, and you know, Coach O said they got 35% in. And I think that Steve Ensminger, Jerry Sullivan, basically they started with a dry erase board. And what they've evolved to has been interesting. I think it's a combination of what they've done in 2016, and they've taken some RPO stuff, some run-pass options, you know, from different spots. It's interesting to me, after the spring game next week, they're going to Los Angeles. This offensive staff's going to spend some time with the Rams and the Chargers. Mm-hmm. And watched a lot of film with on the Rams this past year and what Sean McVay did. And it looks similar to some of the stuff that I think Steve has done. And the logic behind that is you have all three of these quarterbacks played in some variation of a spread with run pass options. And it's a better way of simplifying the game. And I think it makes LSU a more attractive offense down the road for recruits to come in. So, you know, that being said, I think I'm interested to see Brennan, and can he take that accuracy that he showed in the scrimmages and continue it on and take control of this offense? And then I'm interested to see Narcisse, and he has made progress, and they put some run packages in those RPOs for him. He had a good scrimmage, I think, two scrimmages ago. Let's see how much the quarterbacks have come along. That being said, look, it's a spring game. It's situational. They're going to go one-on-one. The defense is right now, I think, the more effective unit. And, you know, it's spring games are never sexy. It kind of is what it is.
Final question for you. Is there a player or two or name that maybe fans that are going to be in Tiger Stadium this or Saturday evening that, hey, who is that guy? And you're like, hey, he's been having a good spring. Maybe a player or two that Coach O's didn't think was going to have a good spring, or is just standing out on his own.
Well, I think two guys. On the offensive ball, Jonathan Giles' slot for the Texas Tech transfer has probably been the best receiver. He's really smooth and works well in the slot position. Terrence Marshall's looked good, and offensive line. Damian Lewis, who's a JUCO transfer, has just been a mauler in the run game. On the flip side, Kayvon Chasson has put on some weight, looks good at defensive end. And I think we've got a really nice battle going on. And where Tyler Taylor was the starting linebacker opposite Devin White last year, but Jacob Phillips has really had a good spring. So watch number 6, Jacob Phillips.
Gordy Rush, sideline reporter for the Tigers on the LSU Sports Radio Network. You can follow him on Twitter at GLRush3. Thanks, Gordy. Appreciate it, man.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
Yep, for sure. Spring game coming up, I believe, 5 p.m. on Saturday. So give it a watch if you are an LSU fan. Make your way up there to Baton Rouge and go check out what the Tigers were all about the spring. And kind of looking, again, a lot of question marks, a lot of different position battles and things of that nature that can start to solve themselves. I still think fall ball is going to be huge, the practices going into it. Again, leading off in Jerry World against the Miami Hurricanes, LSU. When we come back, Fletcher Mackel will help us preview Pels and Blazers Game 3, 8 p.m. tonight on NBA TV if you want to watch it. And I have to give you that info because it's a sellout at the Smoothie King Center. Red T-shirts await your seat. Or await you at the seat. So when you walk in, there it is. Do it big across the chest of the T-shirts. Boogie Cousins is in town. He'll be here for games 3 and 4. Made his way from L.A. with his trainer and his doctor and all of that other stuff to kind of keep the rehab thing so he doesn't miss a day from that aspect of it. So you can have a loud crowd. You can have Boogie in town. Come on. Let's end this series, huh? The leaks continue. Fill in a little bit of what this Saints schedule will be this year. A very tough year, no doubt. Fletcher Mackel, Channel 6 Sports, joins us. We're going to break down Pels and Blazers Game 3 in a little bit at Fletcher WDSU. The way to follow him over on Twitter. Fletcher, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well, Gus. Thanks for having me.
For sure. All right, look, man, I know you got to be loving all the different leaks. 5 primetime games it looks like the Saints are going to have. Sunday night, you got the Vikings, you got back-to-back Thursday night games, which is the first time ever, where you host Atlanta on Thanksgiving, then you travel to Dallas the following Thursday, so that's a good thing. It's not a short week situation, at least in that aspect of it. Redskins Monday night football, Bucks to open the season at home. It's going to be a tough schedule, man, when you look at it either way, where the home slate, you're playing at least 5 playoff teams, 3 from last year, 2 in the division, and on the road, 3. So it's not an easy one in 2018.
No, it is not. And history doesn't always favor the Saints. Realize that since Sean Payton and Drew Brees got here, they've never won playoff games in back-to-back seasons. They've made the playoffs in back-to-back seasons, but they've never won playoff games in back-to-back seasons. That being said, I do think the Saints are pretty loaded for bear this year, so to say. Look at what they did last year. As long as they don't suffer any significant injuries, they seem to have replenished the well, so to say, with a ton of talent in the last 2 draft free agency classes to go along with guys like Drew Brees, Cam Jordan, and Mark Ingram. So I understand the schedule is brutal, but if for the first time in a few years I'm looking at it and saying, you know what, I kind of like the Saints in a lot of these matchups, especially at home against some of these teams.
Especially when you take a look at this offseason, probably across the NFL, Fletcher, a lot of people don't go, oh, look at the Saints, look at some of the moves they made, but whether it's DeMario Davis, whether it's bringing in Coleman from the Panthers, whether it's bringing in, Patrick Robinson, P. Robinum is back, and things of that nature. And you just kind of look at the depth, Ben Watson, things of that nature. They've taken care of enough issues to where, Fletcher, do you think a week from today they can kind of do what they want in the first round?
Without question. I think you're 100%. I mean, look, none of these moves scream star power or difference maker, but the subtle moves is where the Saints truly excel. Guys like A.J. Klein and and even a guy like Manti Te'o, who was below the radar last year, when they brought in Ted Ginn, wasn't, you know, a super sexy signing last year, but he certainly provided a significant push for this team and played a great role stretching the field. So, look, Ben Watson, we know and we like, we know he still can play. And I like some of the holes they filled. I like the return of Alex Okafor. I don't know how he's going to come back from that injury, but he was certainly having a solid season. Mm-hmm. Even a guy like Brandon Coleman coming back. So I like, you know, DeMario Davis, I certainly like, the linebacker for the Jets. But none of these moves were blockbuster. But, yes, I think they filled enough holes that they felt like they had to enter the draft and put themselves in a position to not force anything. That if they want to move up, they can move up. If they sit tight, I think they feel like they're going to get a quality player at 27 that can help this team. So it wouldn't surprise me in any number of directions that they went, be it cornerback, defensive end, tight end, defensive tackle, even if they feel like a guy is ready to come in and contribute right immediately, maybe next to Sheldon Rankin. So, yeah, I think they've positioned themselves to do what they always do and go best available.
Dude, I'm with you. I was on an Atlanta radio station today, and I had a pick on behalf of the Saints in New Orleans, and it's, you know, I went with Dallas Goedert, a tight end, but I was sort of like, I guess, what you have to go through when you do your mocks. It's just, I could have gone a bunch of different situations. Cortland Sutton was there to receiver. I would love to see him, you know, with some other guys. Dude, I could make the case for Geis, especially with some of the videos we played, his NFL Network and his player profile video that came out on social media. So many different areas you can go into, defense too. It's going to be fun next week because I honestly don't know what they do. They can move forward. They can move back if they can get some picks in the second round or stay at 27 and go anywhere's direction. It's exciting considering, Fletcher, they're a playoff team, I think. Considering they really don't have a ton of holes to fill. They got some needs, yes, and things of that nature. But that's what makes it exciting is because I think they can go anywhere.
You're right. And look, I hate to keep parroting everything you say of, you know, I agree or, you know, we're on the same page. But mm-hmm. You're right.
That's right.
Here's the thing. Look, I think that they could go in any number of directions there. And it wouldn't surprise me what they did. I still think the Saints are going to trade up. Be it for a quarterback early, if a guy falls to like that 8 to 12 range, or even for a defensive player or a player that they really like. Remember, the last time they were picking this low, they traded up to get Brandon Cole. Coming off that playoff season, they were picking in the late 20s, and they moved up about 7 or 8 spots to get Cooks because they valued him so highly in the receivers coming off the board. You know, that was the Beckham junior year, and so they moved up. It wouldn't surprise me if they moved from 27 to 19 at Dallas, or 21 if Buffalo doesn't trade their pick, or, you know, 23 with the Giants, depending on what they do at 2. So I could certainly see Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton going up. I could see him staying put. And we could go through an array of names that fit. But, yeah, I think this team has positioned themselves to take best available at whatever position they feel that is.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's get to the game tonight over at the Smoothie King Center. Speaking with Fletcher Mackel, Channel 6 Sports at Fletcher WDSU. Dude, you were there in games 1 and 2. I was so jealous. The Moda Center, one of the tough places to play in the NBA. It's a city that loves its hoops. Both games were tight. One was a 2-point win. The other, while it wasn't that close margin of victory, it was in the final minute or so, but two huge threes by Holiday and Rondo knocking him down. What was it like from that standpoint in covering this team and seeing the confidence they really had?
Look, I said this the whole trip. I've never seen a team with little playoff experience. Take Rondo in his 98 now, career postseason starts away. You know, Anthony Davis has never won a playoff game. And this is only the second time in 6 years he's been there. Drew Holiday, same thing. He went one quick trip with Philadelphia and then limited when they played Golden State here in New Orleans. There's not a lot of playoff experience or savvy on this team, but the confidence in the calm that this team had, being at the practices in the mornings and the shoot-arounds and everything, they are very calm, cool, and collected and just having fun. And maybe that's because of Alvin Gentry, because his persona is a little bit like that. He's a confident guy. He's an NBA lifer. He's seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that's kind of maybe what they needed for this team. And so, I'm astonished by the confidence and the calm that they have playing at such a difficult venue. Because I can tell you right now, that place lives up to its reputation. What the Superdome for the Saints is, that's what the Moda Center for the Blazers is. That's their team. And that's their only, of the four major professional sports, that's their only team. So those fans live and die with that team and love it. And and it was a tough place to play, and they were calm, cool, and confident from start to stop. And I think that that is Rondo helping them and Alvin Gentry helping them.
Wow. Well, by what you're telling me then, what Drew Holiday's been able to do with the calmness and just, I love him just, you know, going back and forth with the fan. I mean, that's, but I guess it kind of goes to that. This is a confident team. They're relaxed. And I think it was you that tweeted the media session from AD back on, the day before game two, where he just seemed relaxed. This team just seems relaxed, Fletcher. So you go into game three. I don't know. Does it help or hurt knowing the crowd is sold out? Does it help or hurt that Boogie Cousins is here with his physical therapist so he doesn't miss a day of rehab? He'll be here both games. Does it help or hurt that you'll probably have Saints players? You'll probably have a lot of attention and eyes on this game and expecting a good performance. Does it help or hurt them?
I think it helps them. I mean, look, they woke up the sports world by winning those games in Portland and upsetting the Blazers in two. So more attention is coming their way, but it doesn't seem to faze them. When we see a setback or when we see some foolish play or when we see them looking nervous, that's when I'll believe it. And look, the NBA playoffs are long. The finals are still almost 2 months away before mm-hmm. everything's wrapped up, said, and done. And I don't think New Orleans is going to the finals, but I do think they're a calm, cool, collected group that's going to win this series before they meet the buzzsaw that is the Golden State Warriors.
All right, so let's take a look at what some of the perhaps things and adjustments each team is going to do. I got to imagine from the Portland side, Fletcher, and you saw it up close in person, Drew Holiday's killing them. So how do they defend him? Do you think they try to do what the Pels have done with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, throw some bigs out around the perimeter, around the three-point arc, and try to get the ball out of his hands, just try to make it a little more difficult? How do you see maybe that adjustment? Because AD went scoreless, dude, for the last 16-29 of that game, and the Pels won. To me, I'm Portland. I got to stop Drew Holiday.
I don't know about that. And here's the reason why, is if you start doubling down on Drew, well, then Anthony Davis ain't going to go scoreless for the final 16 minutes of that game. And I think everybody looks at Anthony Davis as a consistent scorer and weapon. So, look, I'm not comparing the Pelicans to the Golden State Warriors, but that's what makes the Golden State Warriors so amazing, so unstoppable, and really the Rockets at this point, because they have Harden and Paul and a plethora of scorers and resources they can roll out there. But really nothing touches the Golden State Warriors. If teams want to just flat out double up Curry, well, they still have Thompson, who's an all-star and Olympian. And oh, by the way, they still have Kevin Durant, who's one of the best players in recent memory, an all-star and an MVP of the league. There is no stopping a team like that, because you've got shooters, you've got slashers, you've got guys that can do it all, and then Draymond Green is the fourth option. There's no stopping a team like that. You don't have enough defenders. You can't play 10 guys on the court. So what Portland's going to have to do, if they're going to double down Davis to take him away in crunch time like they did, they have to hope that Holiday's cold or that whoever is defending him can make him work a little harder. But doubling down on Drew Holiday is going to leave Davis an unbelievable amount of chances. And if that's how Portland wants to play it, so be it. But that would not be my strategy.
What about from the Pelicans' standpoint? Do you stick with what you've been doing with McCollum and Damian Lillard?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. These teams have played 82 games in the regular season. C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard, outside of Golden State, Houston, hold the best backcourt in the Western Conference. And Damian Lillard is one of the best volume scorers and volume shooters in the NBA. They're not going to pivot off of what they've done. They've made the playoffs four straight times. They've advanced past the first round two of those four times. They're not changing their strategy. They are what they are. They do what they do. Now, could they throw some wrinkles at it to try to confuse the Pelicans? Could they try to get it inside more to Nurkic to try to soften up the outside? Sure. But they're not doing anything drastically different. This is the team they built. This is the team that finished third in the Western Conference. This is the team they thought finally was going to compete with Houston and Golden State for a real legit shot at the title. And so they're not tweaking anything. They're going to hope that, you know, they find some soft spots with the Pelicans, or that their shooters finally heat up at some point and Drew Holiday doesn't just continue to blanket them for the next few games of this series.
That's Fletcher Michael, Channel 6 Sports. We'll close out with this, Fletcher. Do you think they take game three?
I don't know. I think that the Blazers win one. I think the Blazers, look, a few years ago when the Pelicans snuck in at 8 and had to play the juggernaut that is Golden State, a sweep seemed inevitable because you had a team that set an NBA record for most wins versus a team that barely got in. These are two teams that are much better than that. So I don't think a sweep is going to happen. I hope on Sunday we're talking about a sweep, but I don't think it's going to happen. So I think the Blazers win one of these two. I don't know if it's tonight or Saturday, but I don't think it's a sweep, but I think the Pelicans win the series.
Yeah, I'm with you. I do think they split. And again, this one's a key one, man, because if Portland can take this one, then I do think some pressure then all of a sudden turns to New Orleans, because then they can go to Portland and say the Blazers win. Then they come back here for game six, down 3-2. I like this one. You're going to have a sold out crowd. Let's go out there and take care of business. At least get this one. And then Saturday can be a good day. At the very least, you go back to Portland needing just one more win with three games left.
Yeah, I would agree wholeheartedly. I agree.
At Fletcher WDSU is the way to follow you on Twitter. Thank you, man.
Okay, thank you.
Right. Yep, appreciate it. When we come back, Pepito, I have not forgotten about it. You said hour three. Jazz Fest tickets.
I did.
Mm-hmm. See how much better that sounds when you use the special voice.
I was doing it in a sort of mocking manner.
No. I think you did it because you want to follow the lead.
No, not you.
Yeah, you do.
Of all the leaders in this world, you're the last one I want to follow.
Trust me. If I was leading everything would be better. I tell this to my wife all the time.
And nobody believes you.
No, she walks away from me. But, because she understands there's no point. I mean, as I tell her all the time, just do what I say. Everything will go smoothly.
No,
it will. We'll go take a break. When we come back, you might want to be listening for something. Do we play them what you should be listening for?
You want to tease it?
Yeah, we'll
tease it.
Not now. You hear that again, and we only have another two segments left, so it'll either be.
So it's coming soon.
It's coming real soon. When you hear that, call 800-998-1003, and you can win Thursday's pair.
Yeah. When am I going to hit tickets? It? I don't know. When am I going to play it next segment? I don't know.
You don't know.
Could be in the middle of a sentence.
It could be literally.
Middle of a call.
More than likely is when you interrupt me.
It's a hobby.
Yeah, I know. So, we do have one more pair tomorrow as well. At Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap, that's where we will be next Thursday, 1 week from today, the NFL Draft first round coverage by us live at Dave & Buster's special draft seating. We got happy hour prices. We got the covered parking because it's inside of an indoor garage right there in 1200 Poydras Street. It's like a block or so from the dome. Call it two. We'll call it two. It's right there in the corner of Loyola and Poydras. You can't miss it. Looking forward to that. 4K. Favorite, Nola East, Pepito, and me. And, of course, you. Be a part of it. See who the Saints pick in the first round. Should be fun, I think. Pels fans, next 27 minutes or so is all yours. I want to hear what your keys to the game will be tonight. How do you think the outcome will go? All you. The next two segments on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Ah, yes. Getting closer to tip time, Pepito. Pels and Blazers tonight. Last night, and don't forget, in a matter of minutes, we'll...
Could be minutes.
Could be minutes.
Could be seconds.
See, now you got me looking at you.
Why? Don't look at me.
I'm expecting you to interrupt me at any
focus
second.
Focus on right. Your show,
I will
Squirrel
focus.
Man.
Here we go. What are you talking about? Huh?
Exactly.
What? What happened?
Exactly. My point.
So Cavaliers beat the Pacers last night. And after the game, the big news in the NBA that took place was the death of Greg Popovich's wife. And Greg Popovich, his wife passes away. And of course, it hits the world of the NBA during the postseason. And a lot of people are asked about what took place. And after the game on TNT, LeBron and Ali LaForce, the sideline reporter, is asking him about the game. Now, Jason, she does ask him a good 3.5 minutes almost of game questions. I mean, it's about 2.5, 3 minutes, right?
It's a good, yeah. I think it's a 3 minute bite altogether. So you get about a minute and a half or so of actual game coverage.
Okay, so what I'm saying, like three questions
of
about the game.
Yes. To open up the interview.
The last question to LeBron is the following.
During this game, we got the really devastating news. The Spurs announced that Aaron, Coach Popovich's wife, officially passed away. I know you're close with Pop. Any words or thoughts you'd like to share with him?
Fans, we hope you've enjoyed your evening here with us tonight. We look forward to seeing you right back on Friday for the game watch party. It starts at 7 p.m. Stop by the ticket.
I mean, I'm a huge Pop fan. I love Pop. That's such a tragedy, and you know, my best wishes goes out to Pop and his family. I know that's devastating news, and holy shit. It's just a lot. I mean, the NBA family, we all stick together. I know we compete every night, but something like this happens, it puts everything in perspective. So, you know, I send my well wishes. And my prayers up to the heavens above. I know the man above never makes a mistake, even when you sometimes have to ask why. But that's just terrible news. And best of luck to Pop, man, and everybody in San Antonio, the whole Spurs family. That's all I can say, Allie.
LeBron, thank you so much.
You heard him getting choked up, some tears as well, several times in that. Before I get to his response, I have no idea. Well, I mean, I do. Jason, you and I have talked to on air, off the air, Joey as well, the state of this country as how we treat one another. But the amount of colleagues, okay, so media people and such, that went after Ali for asking the question, it shocked me. How dare her ask that question? How unprofessional to ask LeBron that question. You can't blindside LeBron with that question. If you're going to ask LeBron that question, you need to let him know, give him a heads up before you ask that question. I think Ali did exactly what a sideline reporter is supposed to do. Jason, no offense on this. Joey, no offense on this. You guys could ask post-game questions to LeBron or somebody like that when he scores 40-some points in the playoff win. Hey, big win. How important was this win? Hey, what did you guys do? Did you know what I'm getting at? The normal, everyday. You heard Dan Le Batard earlier today say the cliche stuff that you would normally ask, right? Anybody can do that. You know what? Ali did a great job. She got LeBron to show emotion. I don't know about you. That made me more of a fan.
About time.
But what I'm getting at is there are bigger things than a game. I wouldn't have had an issue if it was the first question. She asked it as the last question. She did ask, what was it like to come out and drop 40-something and almost barely win? She did ask about, you know, different adjustments in the game, in the series, and winning one for the team in the city. And all. She did all that. LeBron's played on Team USA several times in Olympics and stuff. Popovich is part of that. There's a close relationship between LeBron and Popovich. LeBron's been talked about, and he's himself said, he's a huge fan of the game, studies the game, gives Popovich and the Spurs a ton of credit. I mean, there's a lot of talk that he could go to San Antonio, play with Kawhi and stuff. He highly respects Greg Popovich. He is absolutely the guy you ask that question to. Arguably, to some, the face of the NBA, best player in the NBA. Why wouldn't you ask him that question? Why wouldn't you say, hey, thoughts on this? We just found out it happened. Because Greg Popovich is so loved and respected in the league that, yes, everyone. I mean, Kevin Durant had no words. Steve Kerr teared up. I mean, people love that guy. People that aren't even Spurs fans can respect what he's done. 21 straight seasons in the postseason. But we've heard, Jason, the last several months, too, he's been outspoken about social issues. He's talked about racism. Like, this guy transcends just sport. Why wouldn't you ask one of the bigger faces in the sport, if not the world professionally, that question? Or his thoughts on the passing of his wife? I was riveted. I couldn't move. When it was silent, and you could see it affected him. Because the death of a spouse is that. It's emotional. It's shocking. I was just blown away by the amount. You know what? Step back from your Twitter. Step back from your little laptops. I had to in my career. There are other things than just sports. There are other things than just the game. You could, dude, if you don't care about your family and your friends and your life, and we're not promised tomorrow. You know? There's work. And when you're not working, enjoy it. I liked seeing the emotional, the human side of LeBron James yesterday. Vivitha, you touched on it too. You can look at his Instagram stuff. He tweets and posts videos all the time of his kids, him and his wife. You know, Breeze does that all the time, right? Breeze,
he's a good
Instagrams
dude.
And tweets more pictures of his kids doing breakfast or his kids acting up like normal kids and stuff like that, more than anything else. I like that. I've said one of the privileges that I've had, one of the things that I've enjoyed in the profession that I've chosen here as a career, is being able to see that side that a lot of fans don't, the behind the curtains aspect of it. Which is why I purposely asked Gordy Rush to come on today. He travels with Darius Geis. He sees Darius Geis on the sideline. He sees Darius Geis at practice. He sees Darius Geis on campus. He talks to when he's not the football player. That's why I asked him to come on to talk about him. You will know more about people when you around them, when you travel around them. People that cover the Saints on a day-to-day basis, all the beat reporters, the columnists, whatever, throughout an entire season, months, when you spend so much time there, yeah, you'll know who's the funny guy, who's the guy that likes to play the Xbox, who's the quirky guy, you know, who's the guy just has no humility, doesn't have to have the towel. You know about people. I love that. I'm not saying I enjoyed that because it was a loss of somebody, but that was great. And again, Brian and I talked about this on Tuesday. There's a reason the NBA's TV ratings are skyrocketing and the NFL aren't. One of the reasons that league does a great job of bringing you the person, those people, to you. Ernie Johnson, Shaq, Barkley, Kenny Smith, they got caught up. They were choked up talking about it. Shaq talked about his family. Charles talked about it. It was great. We're going to get to the highlights. We're going to get to the, you know, the things that broke down the game. Why did LeBron and them win? We're going to get to all of that. It's bigger things. One of the biggest names in the sport lost his wife. It's probably not a good time. And one of the faces in the league got caught up and was emotional in it, in his response, felt terrible, then offered support. I think one of the best lines in there is like, hey, sometimes the man upstairs makes a never makes a mistake, even though sometimes you ask why. How many of us said that, right? Just lost my grandma. It stinks. I have no idea how you could be so ugly. And some of the things, go do a Twitter search. They were calling her awful things.
And you said this earlier.
Very
she actually,
unprofessional.
She got his, she asked him if
yeah,
she can
and
ask
by
him
the
question.
Way, for the people that go, you can't blindside, you know, side him. Why can I not say that
She
word?
Got permission from him.
She asked him before. She said, do you mind if I ask you about this? And he said, absolutely. he wanted to comment on it because he was close to him. So for the idiot national people that went off on her for, you should have gotten his permission. She showed you how to do your job that a lot of these people that cover these athletes don't know. There's more to just, hey, let's get the stats. Give me who the person is. Why is Zach Streif so loved in the Saints locker room by the people that cover the Saints? This dude's a real dude. Gotta go to break, but first. Wake up, Maggie. I think I got something to say to you. Where's that? I got cocktail pebbles and a microphone. When we come back, we'll put a wrap on things, and I probably would call 800-998-1003 if you like Jaspis. Just saying, Jason, don't you think? I would probably.
That's what that little montage is for, yeah.
Say hi to Joey for us. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on the game. My keys to the Pels Blazers Game 3 on ESPN New Orleans next. Welcome back. Baker Mayfield, Brian Nola's trying to use the Baker Mayfield story against me. He had a meeting with the Chargers. Do you think this is a big deal? He had a meeting with the Chargers, right? They took him to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked him about the playbook, and he afterwards in the Sports Illustrated story, he's like, look, I could have studied a little bit more about the Charger playbook. They wanted to know more about. I'm like, since when do you have to know the entire playbook?
At least he was honest.
No, I know, but you get what I'm getting at? Like, he was saying, hey, if I'm going to go to a job interview, I should know something about it. Yes.
So
but
should
I'm
he
going
know
specifically to a place. Like, let's say I was looking to, I don't know, get a job in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Let's say I'm looking, I wouldn't mind a job in Hawaii, right?
Let's say University of Hawaii.
There's like a radio station in Hawaii. Okay, right. So there's one sports talk radio station in Hawaii. I would know about them. About them. It's not like 45 radio stations are trying to interview me for something. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then now you know all of their lineup and everything. So
does Baker Mayfield really need to know all, 31 teams?
That's what I'm getting
31
at.
Playbooks
that's
right
now? That's unrealistic.
Come on.
That's unrealistic. But Golic was going nuts on him. I was a little surprised and shocked by it this morning.
Jeffrey, by the way, is the big winner. All the Jazz Fest tickets today.
Congratulations. We have one more pair of Jazz Fest tickets to give away tomorrow. Let's do it in hour one.
You sure about that?
Yeah, we'll do it in hour
one. I don't know if I'm feeling hour one.
All right, maybe two.
I don't know if I'm feeling hour two.
Three?
I'm feeling hour one a little bit more.
Okay, see, now you're feeling hour one?
Maybe two. I don't know. We'll see.
You know what?
We'll see.
Make a decision.
We'll let you know.
We'll let you know tomorrow. We'll be live at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap. Here's Kirk Herbstreit, by the way, on Baker Mayfield. That was interesting, his take on him.
I think people don't quite appreciate his ability to process information, recognize defenses, have incredible accuracy, whether it's mid-range throws or even especially downfield. He does everything that you want to see from a quarterback. What you have to come to grips with is, you know, he's a guy that, you know, if he gets in front of the media, there's 12 guys badgering him. He's one of these guys that you can light a fuse.
I don't understand why this is a problem. Anyway, I don't think he'll be around for the Saints at 27 for sure. If the Saints want him, he'll be in the top 10, I believe. And in the Sports Illustrated article, he says he's not going past 6. He thinks he's not passing 6. So we'll see. All right, Pels Blazers, 8 o'clock. Pepito, your key to a win tonight.
Very easy. Win. Yeah.
There it is.
Score more
you
points.
You cannot get better NBA draft analysis than that right there.
You know why? Because if you have more points than the other team, you win the game.
Again.
Come on, man. Wow.
I mean, it's like a water fountain now.
Good Lord.
I mean, just keep going. What else?
A fountain of knowledge over here, sir.
Give me one more.
One more key to the game.
One more key to
Don't
the game.
Don't get injured.
Wow.
You can't get that anywhere else.
No, you can't.
You can try.
No, you can't. I'm going to go again with Etuan Moore as a guy that maybe has a big game tonight. I do think Portland somehow, some way, maybe doesn't double up Drew, but runs out another body at him. Maybe tries to get the ball out of his hands. But yes, that does leave one-on-one with AD. That might leave Miritich open for a bit, especially in that corner. But I feel like Etuan Moore is out there a lot on the minutes-wise. I think he could come up. And he's shown in some games he's been able to do it. The key bench contributor, I agree with Jake Madison, who said early in the show back around 12:30, Sheck Diallo could be a guy that could provide some energy with a sold-out crowd. You know, I could see it. Just even in the rebound section. The boards is going to be the key. That's the stat for me. Offensive rebounds. Portland has hurt New Orleans in two games, even though they've lost on that. Dude, you could go a long, long way. Here's Captain Obvious here. By getting this game. Yes, it will be 3-0 and you only need one. But you could really, really do it. Lots of momentum in the city. Lots of people paying attention. You can go take care of business tonight. It'd be great. Hopefully we'll be talking about a win tomorrow. I think they pull it out. I think they can win tonight.
I think so.
Me too. Coming up next, Matt Moscone. And after further review, you are listening to ESPN New Orleans.